Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And we got our good friend Scott Eblen back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Scott is a former good employee for a number of years. He worked for other companies and helped them be successful. He now has his own company, the Eblen Group, and he helps people with their leadership issues. He helps them make sure that the companies and individuals put their best foot forward as leaders. His book is called The Next Level, What Insiders Know About Executive Success. Small business owners, if you own a business, you're an executive. You're a CEO. You're the chief executive of your business. And so Scott has a lot to say to you and me. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Good to be with you this morning.
It's good to have you back. Now, you've been thinking about BlackBerries lately, haven't you?
Yeah, so I'll do a trivia question for your listeners this morning. Who is Mike Lazaridis? And Mike Lazaridis, I'll go ahead and the answer, is the inventor of the BlackBerry.
I was going to say a very rich guy.
He is an extremely rich guy, I would think so. But I started out as a small business guy, I'm sure. And Mike invented the BlackBerry 10 years ago. It's hard to believe that it's only been around for 10 years because it seems like everybody's got one these days, right?
Yeah. Now, was he working for Research in Motion, or did he sell that to them, or?
I think, I'm not sure what the story is. I've seen Mike cited recently as the primary inventor of the technology behind the BlackBerry. So I don't know if he's with Research in Motion or whether it was he sold it or what. But what's interesting to me is I blogged about this.
Hold on a second, Scott. Yeah. Just in case there's somebody out there who doesn't know what a BlackBerry is, one person.
Sure.
Tell us what the BlackBerry is.
So a BlackBerry is a little device you hold in your hand. It's about the size of a deck of cards. And you can get your email in this little device that you carry around with you, and you can do a lot of other things with it too, but most people primarily use it for email. These days it has a cell phone function in it as well, so you can use it as both your cell phone and your email device, and you can receive and send emails on your BlackBerry.
Now, Scott, I owned one right after it first came out as just an email device. That's all it was an email device.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't own one then, but with the moment they came out with it, because I didn't want to have two devices.
Right.
But the moment they came out with a BlackBerry that had a cell phone on it, which was probably about 8 years or so ago, 7 or 8 years ago, I bought one, and I've owned one ever since. My new one, Scott, is not only an outstanding email machine, text message machine, cell phone, it also is my iPod, and it is my it has a camera in it and a video camera. How about that?
So many ways to be busy.
And it's smaller. It's smaller than the first one.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing.
It's like a fourth of a deck of cards.
Yeah. It's an amazing piece of technology.
I keep it in my pocket. I don't even. Yeah, I've never clipped any one of these on my belt. My wife won't let me walk around with it clipped on my belt. But I just put it in my pocket.
Yeah, so that's all the good stuff about BlackBerries, right? And
yeah.
I don't want to deny all the good stuff about BlackBerries, but what I would say is it can be a huge source of mental interruptions and keeping you from focusing on what you really need to focus on. I work with a lot of groups in my work, and just about everybody walks in with a BlackBerry at the beginning of the day. And one of my rules is put your BlackBerries on stun. And we're not going to pay attention to those for a while. But I'll ask people occasionally, I said, how many emails do you get a day? And it seems like these days the average is about 200 to 250 emails a day with the executives I work with. And sometimes I'll ask them, show me, like literally show me the physical reaction you get when an email comes in on your BlackBerry. And one woman summed it up for everybody a few weeks ago. She literally got this grimace on her face and her shoulders crunched up. And I said, wow. That's a pretty strong reaction. Oh, yeah, I just feel like sick. when an email comes in. There's so many of them, I can't keep up with them. I said, and so how many do you get in a day? It's about 200, 250. I said, so 250 times a day you're doing that?
Wow.
You know, just like getting that shot of adrenaline or kind of like, you know, when that BlackBerry comes, that email comes in on the BlackBerry. And what happens is we get interrupted so much throughout the day, and we get that little shot of adrenaline every time that email comes in that we lose our focus. You know, and I heard you talking in the last segment about fear and your fear tools. What was it? Fear fighting tools, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of those rely on showing up at your best, showing up at your best peak state of performance, right? And if we're constantly in that respond to the BlackBerry mode, what's the next email, waiting on the next email, how do you get any meaningful thought done?
Right. Right. Hold on to that thought, Scott. Folks, we're going to come back. Now, some of you may not have the crackberry syndrome that is now called, but you don't have a BlackBerry, but you got something like it, or it's not even a phone that's messing you up. It's something else. So switch those. You know, we'll interchange those different stimuli, and we'll be right back with our good friend Scott Eblen after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. We built them for you so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Smallbusinessadvocate.com, so you can find the show and all the other stuff we do here. And then askjim.biz, our knowledge base, where you get small business answers now. So check those out. Scott Eblen is our guest. His book is called The Next Level. Scott, tell us where it's available, please.
Amazon.com is probably the best place to find the next level.
Eblin, Scott Eblen, if you're Googling him. What insiders know about executive success, the next level. Scott, we're talking about the BlackBerry, sometimes called the crackberry.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were talking to us about how productive we first talked about, you know, all the cool things. And let me tell you something. My BlackBerry is a magic machine. I mean, I'm telling you, my BlackBerry is. I just wrote about this week. My column is in the newsletter and in my newspaper column is going to be about. It's going to include a part on technology, Scott, and how technology actually can be a good way for you and me to take more time off. Because if we just because we want to take a day or a couple of days or a week off, you know, we still need, as business owners, we still need to be able to plug in. And our BlackBerry, my BlackBerry is a wonderful tool, but the problem that happens is when it becomes what they commonly call now a crackberry, which means you become addicted to it. And I'll tell you something, I think there's some, you know, there are a lot of things that happen that are mechanical causes and mechanical solutions. When you put your BlackBerry in a holster on your belt, you can set it to vibrate when it's in the holster.
Uh-huh.
And whenever you get a call or an email, it vibrates, and people just have to look at it because they don't know if it's a call coming in.
Yeah. And you know what happens when that, if you're talking about the mechanical response, there's a physical response too. It's the fight or flight response, the same part of your brain that causes the fight or flight response. You get a little shot of adrenaline from that every time your BlackBerry vibrates or makes a noise, right?
Right.
So again, you know, how many calls, how many emails are you getting a day, and how much interruption is that causing in your train of thought? You know, the other cool thing about them, like you said, they do so many things now. You can check the internet, you can check the news headlines, your stock price, whatever.
You can text,
You can text, play games on it, all that. And I've seen another word lately that I really like, micro-boredom. we won't allow ourselves to be bored these days for even a microsecond because we've got so many options to keep our mind busy, and the BlackBerry is a great example of that. 10 or 12 or 20 different things you can do with it at any given point, that we don't allow ourselves time to just be bored. And what comes out of boredom is some pretty good thoughts sometimes. That's where
innovation comes from. I have never played a game on my BlackBerry.
Good for you. You're the only person in America that has it.
I really have. I have never, ever played it because I'm not a game kind of guy. I would rather be thinking about something or asking somebody a question. But let me back up for a second. Here's back to my mechanical solution. My phone rings. It doesn't buzz unless I get to a situation where, you know, I'm in a meeting or whatever, and I don't want to interrupt other people. I'll turn it on vibrate. But my phone, when I'm not like that, my phone rings when I get a call. And when I get an email, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't vibrate or ring or anything. It just comes in. And whenever I get around to it, I check my email.
That's the way to do it, because who's in control that way?
Right, exactly.
You are.
And I'll tell you what else. Yeah. Right now, my phone is in my car.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in my office.
Is that a conscious decision on your part?
Yes,
to leave it in
the
car?
I do. Yeah. I leave it in my car, and I take. Now, when I leave my car to go to eat or to wherever I go outside of my office, I take it. I put it in my pocket. But when I'm in my office, I get my email on my computer in my office, and I get my phone's calls through my office. And so I don't live with my point is, you can make conscious decisions mechanically. To help fix this thing, to get separated, to get off the addiction.
That's exactly it.
If you have that silly holster and you have your phone vibrate, you don't know whether that vibration is a call or an email, and that's what people react to, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you're exactly right, and you get, as you said earlier, you get addicted to that, and that's why they call them crackberries.
I was doing a show one time, Scott, an interview. And the guy was I was on location, and the guy was across from me, and he literally couldn't conduct the interview with me without having this BlackBerry in his hand. And every 30 seconds while we were on the interview, he would look down at his BlackBerry and check updates on his email.
Yeah.
I said, man, that guy's addicted.
Well, you're right. He was, and so what he, you know, the plan for anybody with that kind of issue is exactly what you've been doing, Jim, which is to make some conscious decisions and set up some boundaries about where it's allowed and where it's not allowed and when and why, right?
Right, right.
The Wall Street Journal had a great article a couple of years ago called BlackBerry Orphans, and it was about little kids rebelling against their parents who were constantly on their BlackBerry.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. That's
of course, it's not just BlackBerries. Yeah. I mean, it's also the computer.
Yeah. Sure.
Right?
It's anything,
you know,
electronic that keeps us connected with the outside world, right?
Folks, yeah. Balance. They're tools. They're tools, folks. And but you know, you need to understand, what is the possibility that you do have some level of an addiction to some of this stuff? And look around you. How much is it causing you to be inefficient, ineffective, unproductive? Or worse, causing you problems with your relationships, like with your children. How about that? Scott's going to help us some more with this right after these messages. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Standing on the mountain, looking down on a city.
Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate, Scott Eblin, is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of The Next Level, available wherever fine books are sold. Scott, tell us about your company and how we can find you.
Sure, Jim. Thanks. The name of the company, again, is the Eblin Group. We focus on supporting leaders who are moving up, moving from one level to the next, and understanding what to pick up and what to let go of as you make transitions up to the next level.
Boy, that's key, isn't it? What to pick up, what to let go of.
Yeah.
How to delegate.
Yeah, the letting go is the hard part. You know, picking up, everybody can pick up, but you've got to create some bandwidth for yourself by letting go of some things that, you know, maybe those were the things that used to be the right things for you to do, but as the results expectations change, you've got to change your behaviors to meet the new results.
My column, coincidentally, this week is a lot about this, about how to take time off, and I've been trying, and delegation is part of that.
Yeah,
you know, if you don't, you're not going to be happy taking time off if you don't have the right team that you can leave your business with. But even if you have the right team, if you can't delegate, If you can't drop some stuff off and pick up some new stuff, then you know, if you can't learn how to delegate, then you the best team in the world is not gonna help you go to the next level, is it?
No. The only way you can move up is if you allow yourself to give up, to give up some of the stuff that you've been doing. So.
Well, you know, that's the thing is, though, the problem we've got is I think what happens is to us, Scott, is that we used to do all those jobs. See, that's the way it is in my business. Every job that's in this building, in my office, in my operation, I used to do. Every one of them, mm-hmm. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I did them perfectly. You know why? Because I'm perfect, right? You know, I'm absolutely perfect. So I did them perfectly. And when somebody else does it, they can't do it perfectly because they're not me, right?
Right.
And so it's how do I give it to somebody if they're not going to do it perfectly? Well, I heard a term. Well, I coined the phrase seek excellence, not perfection.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody else came up with something that I thought is maybe even better, and they said, never let perfect be the enemy of the good.
Right, right.
And isn't that a great thought for delegation?
I think it is. I mean, one of the things we really encourage our clients to think about is picking up the habit of defining what to do and letting go the habit of telling how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, you know, there's the big picture is the what to do, and that's what we as business owners and more senior people in organizations need to focus on. There are lots of ways to get there, and you know, so we don't need to focus our attention and energy on how to do it. It's much more about what to do.
So just as you become addicted to, you could become addicted to your BlackBerry or whatever technology or whatever device or crutch or whatever seduction that you become addicted to, just as you can become ineffective and not become the kind of leader you could be because of those things, the inability to delegate can be the same kind of have the same kind of effect, can it?
I think it can. I think in some ways it's rooted in the same thing because we get comfortable and we develop a sense of ourselves based on what we do. And so when that game starts to change, that's pretty uncomfortable and can be pretty scary. You were talking earlier about fear. That's another mm-hmm. source of fear is change.
Mm-hmm.
And can I do it differently or can I let go of what has made me successful? Man, that's been my go-to shot, right? I've got to keep doing that. Even though that's not the shot you need to take anymore.
Well, what you have to do, I think, Scott, is you have to say, okay, and you said it a minute ago so well, you've got to learn what to drop off and what to pick up. And see, that's what I've experienced I've grown my business, is I know that I need to be doing the next level thing, as you say in your book, and I need to drop off the previous level thing to somebody else. And
yeah,
I need to find out. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, the question I like to ask my clients to think about is, what is it that, given the role that you're in and where you are now, what is it that only you can do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not to say you're indispensable, but there are certain leverage points that come with the role that you're in, and there are a lot of things you could do. There are a lot of things you're good at doing. You were perfect at doing all those things when you were growing your business, but you're no longer the only person that can do those things.
My employees have been given instructions that if they see me picking up anything that they can do that I don't have to do, they're ordered to remove it from my hands and make me go away.
That's a good system.
But my point is, in other words, sometimes you have to have people do that. They have to, like an intervention or something.
They need some help.
Yeah, it's like an intervention. Hey, give us that website again, Scott.
Sure. The website for our company is eblingroup.com, eblingroup.com.
Hey, Scott, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Jim, I love doing it. Thank you.
We'll do it again real soon. Scott
good
Eblin,
deal.
Ladies and gentlemen. The book is called The Next Level. He's talking about you. Where are you going? What's your next level, and what are you going to drop off? You got to do both of those things at the same time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you know what I'm going to remind you about. Seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.